Hello, my name's Caroline Donnelly.
And my name's Claire McDonald, and it's our pleasure to welcome you to the Computer Weekly
Downtime Upload
podcast.
And that lone male voice on the podcast today belongs to...
I'm Ryan Priest, I'm a senior sub-editor.
Now, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll be aware that things sound a little different to usual today. For one thing, we're missing the dulcet Glaswegian tones of Dr. Data himself, Brian McKenna.
Yes.
And this is kind of monumental because Brian has not missed a single episode of the podcast to date, while you and me have kind of like, yeah, we'll see you whenever, like, bye.
Easy breezy.
Yeah, exactly. So, interested to find out if he's going to suffer any kind of withdrawal symptoms from not being involved in this week's one.
Well, already got text messages from him this week, so I feel like it's already happening.
Yeah, I think there's a definite low-level case of simmering FOMO, maybe. So... yeah, I think it goes without saying, we will miss you, Brian, but we're just going to crack on regardless.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yes, he will be back next week. He's just holidaying in the highlands of his motherland somewhere. But in his absence, Claire and I have decided to mix things up with the format a little bit.
Yes. So instead of one presenter, we've got two presenters this week. They're both women. So on the complete opposite end of the spectrum in terms of diversity, it's not exactly a diverse panel. We're all women, except for Ryan.
Hi, guys.
I am here.
So this would normally be the point in the podcast where we would talk about all of the big, important tech stories of the week that we're planning to run you through. But you know what? No, not doing that. Mm-hmm. Not doing it this week. We've decided to do things a little bit differently. It's the summer. We're all hot. We're all bothered.
Yeah, we'd just rather be working outside. If this was school, we'd be gazing out the window like, teacher, please.
Yeah, like me. We want to stay in the middle of the square. So we sat down to plan out what we were going to talk about. It became clear that what we would actually like to do is make things a little bit more fun.
Yes, and lighthearted. But obviously we can't avoid talking about what's happened in the world of tech news completely this week, because there's been a few notable things.
And also we're a tech publication.
Yeah, so it probably would be like, why the hell am I listening to this? Like, oh, well. All of these great stories you can read about in full detail on computerweekly.com. So if you're a fan of a long read, then Bill Goodwin and Sebastian Klovig-Skelton's joint investigation into Facebook's track record on privacy is well worth a look. Yeah, it's a deep dive in every sense of the word, and if I'm not mistaken, they should be on the podcast in a few weeks to talk about it. I think Brian's quite keen to get them because it's such an involved story. I just don't think any of us lot could do it justice without the people who have been working so closely on it. So they will be coming in a few weeks, so we kind of thought, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, then do it.
Or you can read it, we don't have to do all the work. So other things this week, there was the launch of gCloud 11, which went live with 4,200 suppliers, 90% of them SMEs. Woo!
Yay.
There was the launch of Vodafone's 5G network. Whee!
Seeing a theme.
Yeah. I'm just trying to celebrate the good. And there's also been some further courtroom dispatches from Carl Flinders for the ongoing post office trial.
How long have you been doing that now?
I've got
years.
It does feel a bit like that. But it's always quite fun when people phone up and say, can I talk to Carl? And go, no, he's in court.
He's
and
they're
like, oh, okay. And they just wind up the conversation really quickly. I'm like, yes. Like, they don't need to know he's there in a working capacity. I think they just think he's a criminal mastermind.
I feel like the fact that that's the first thing that they assume just says something about Carl, though.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, but it's... yeah, it's keeping him off the streets. Keeping him in bylines. Yeah. So what else has been going on this week? There have been a couple of outages that have caught my attention. I love an outage story.
Yeah.
Because there's always a sense that when an outage happens, what if that's it? Like, if something falls over, what if it never comes back?
Yes, end of the world.
Yeah, it's just the chaos and the, like, oh, I haven't got a response. Oh my God, that's it. Bankrupt, done. That company's ended. But that has not been the scenario that's played out this week.
Yeah, I think that's very important to say for
Facebook's still here, is it then?
Yes, sadly. But yeah, so the first outage was one involving Cloudflare, which turned a large portion of the internet dark for a short while early this week, including a handful of Computer Weekly's competitors, which...
oh, goodness.
They're back up and running now. It's great to have you back, guys. But we were fine, so... As outages go, I thought it was actually quite well handled. They were very... as soon as it happened, I think it was quite relatively short. But the senior management team at Cloudflare were on Twitter communicating to users, a lot of them who weren't able... you know, their websites had fallen over, just saying that it wasn't a cyber attack. They know exactly what it was. They were quite upfront and honest about what had happened.
And that should be the norm, shouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's...
that's the least you'd expect, is them to be transparent about it.
Yeah. But it's not always the case. A lot of the time, we've covered outages in the past where it's just like people are, I'm locked out of all my systems. Mm. There's no response from, like, the if the call centre's gone down, their like tech supplier that's affected by it, they can't get through on the phones. There's no emails. You know, they don't even do like bare minimum tweet, like kind of, hey, we're aware of it, working on it.
It's that just... should be it for that company.
Yeah.
If they ignored me like that, and I was a customer,
yeah,
I would walk. I'd never look back. It's bad enough to being ignored, like with your friends, like texting you, and
yeah,
asking
left,
what's
leaving
going
you
on
red.
Just, yeah, well, that's probably just me that happens. But if that starts happening with companies that you're actually paying for a service,
yeah,
and they just shrug you off,
they ignore you, and
yeah. say, "No, well, we just had some problems."
Well,
it's not good enough.
Whatever. Or just giving you no indication as to when you can expect things to be up and running again. It's just
plus,
how do you plan your business around it?
People love it when people mess up in this country.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be that much of a problem. Mm. Like, it's basically the same as someone dropping a glass in a pub.
Yay!
So yes, well done to Cloudflare. But then in relation to that, on the opposite side of things, we've had the Facebook, WhatsApp and Instagram triple takedown.
Yes.
That affected everybody yesterday.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah. All of them just, I don't know, there was like varying issues across the different platforms. They all do slightly different things. But yeah, like Facebook, you couldn't look at any pictures.
That's not good enough.
Instagram news feeds, I don't think were refreshing. People were having problems,
I think,
with stories as well.
Also, Instagram is exclusively pictures and videos.
Yeah.
So yeah. Not the best. Is it when you can't?
Could you still DM on there? Maybe
I don't know. Yeah. I sent a DM yesterday on Instagram and it worked fine. So
who to?
My friend Tam.
Oh,
yeah. She showed me a video of a gerbil getting brushed.
Oh, that's quite cute.
Shout out to Tam.
Yeah. I'm glad that communication could still happen.
It might have been a chinchilla.
Oh, okay, but she might not, if you hadn't responded or it couldn't got through, she might never have sent you any more.
Well, yeah, maybe we wouldn't be friends now.
Yeah,
if I hadn't have said, OMG, so cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the kind of impact that those services going down could have had.
And it was WhatsApp as well.
WhatsApp, you couldn't share memes.
Mm.
If you upload, it wouldn't upload pictures or GIFs or anything
like
that. Or any pictures at all, and then you couldn't send them to people either. It just did that kind of thing where it's not quite downloaded or fuzzy.
Yeah, and it has the arrow, the download arrow, but nothing happens.
Mm.
Which, as one of the meme queens in several group chats on WhatsApp, that hit me hard.
Yeah.
I suddenly wasn't funny. Apparently can't express myself through words, which isn't the best for a journalist, really, is it?
It's probably not a great character. But yeah, Facebook have just said, because they own all three companies, they've just sort of just, I asked them today, I was like, so what happened? Are we going to get a full post-mortem of like what happened? Like, are you sharing infrastructure or something? Is that why? Like, if one goes down, all go down? And we just got, sorry for the inconvenience, it's all sorted now. I thought, oh, okay. But like, say people's social lives.
Again, it's not good enough.
No.
I know we don't like pay for those services, but still everyone's interested in that story. They should be transparent about it.
So you do pay through your personal data.
Yeah.
That's very true.
You don't know what they know about you.
What a harrowing thought. Who did you speak to at Facebook?
Oh, just someone at their agency. Mm. You send through an email to Facebook at press thinking that'll go straight to Zuckerberg's PA or something, and then you get someone from a London PR agency go, here's a statement, and you're, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Tell Mark I hope he's well.
Like, you should have done what? Have you seen that latest Black Mirror? Without giving any spoilers, one of the episodes about a guy that is desperate to speak to the CEO of a sort of Facebook type company, so he holds someone hostage from the company, and demands to contact the CEO.
Oh my god,
otherwise he'll kill him.
Let me guess
I'm not suggesting you did that with
does the CEO
this story.
Turn out to be an AI?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Oh,
you should have been there when Tory Brooker was writing the script, though. It might have been a bit more interesting.
So that is a roundup of some of the stories we've covered on Computer Weekly this week. But there's a few things that occur in the news cycle every summer that kind of contribute to this feeling we talked about earlier, about maybe it's time to wind down. Maybe silly season is upon us. Like, maybe some of the lighter stories of that we cover at Computer Weekly can maybe get pulled into sharper focus. So things like this week we've had the annual invite to Wimbledon. We get it every year from IBM saying, do you want to come and check out their tech bunker, which is where they house kind of like all this infrastructure that kind of powers their sort of big data analytics stuff that they use to kind of benchmark the performance of like various tennis players and things like that. And you're always kind of, once that comes through, you're like, yay, it's summer.
Yes, and when
Do you actually go?
Brian's going this year, big boss man.
Esteemed leader.
I like the idea that you all celebrate the email, but never actually go.
Summertime! when I first joined Computer Weekly, I was sent, because as you said, the invite comes in every year, so it was a treat. It was a, let's send the new assistant over to Wimbledon. And I went, I did the bunker tour, I covered it, and I came back. And in the afternoon, Brian was like, why are you here? And I was like, well, I came to write up the Wimbledon story. He was like, why are you not drinking Pimm's and watching tennis? And I was like, oh, I didn't realise this. That was summertime fun time.
I can't imagine you when you were that professional. You wouldn't do that now, would you?
No, I definitely would have been
there all night.
Yeah.
I did it a few years in a row, but there was never the offer of a tennis match afterwards to stay. They always did it like in the run up to it, going, hey, look at the grounds, don't walk too far into the grounds, we're tidying it up for the visitors. And you're like, oh, okay.
Don't touch this.
Yeah, so I've never actually done the tour, but I've done the like pre-tour presentation. So maybe this is like two-tier kind of tech journo thing. Yeah. Like if you're, you know, if you're up the behind the velvet rope, you're at the match, you're drinking Pimm's, whereas you can come in before everyone else is here, but please clear out before like royalty and whoever.
I think the difference is that you just have to be obnoxiously demanding.
Oh, okay.
You go, I can't come for the allotted tour time that you have given me, but I tell you what I can do, watch tennis. Please invite me later in the week.
Okay. Do you think it's too late now to put in something?
Yes.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Next year.
Okay, so another thing that comes around every year and also is seasonal is Glastonbury, which Ryan, you're going to talk us through a tech snafu that happened there.
Yeah, well, you reminded me of it earlier in the week, which is strange because I usually am on the hunt for anything mildly funny happening to put it into the downtime blog.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did see that tweet. Nina Cherry did her live set, and in the background was her sort of display. What are they called? Sort of backing visuals.
Like visuals, yeah. Sort of add a bit of.
Genuinely worked for a company that made them before, but I can't remember what they're called. Visuals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The laptop that she was using to show the visuals crashed. And rebooted, and it turned out to be running on Windows XP, which. I hadn't actually seen that little logo for so long.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I think people just were quite happy to see it.
Yeah, it's because it's like, because once you do see it, you're like, oh my god, it's taking me back.
It does. Yeah, it like reminds you of being, I don't know, like at college or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe even earlier. I can't really remember.
It's one of my favourite Windows operating systems.
That was a banger,
it just
wasn't
worked
it?
Like a dream.
It did feel like the one that like took you into the future, because the ones since then haven't looked as different from XP.
Mm.
But the ones before that was proper retro.
Mm.
And like in my downtime, I said, if it was like Windows 98, I think that would have been the tipping point over to people thinking this is genuinely like intentional.
Mm.
Like she's used these graphics. Which probably would have been like a better idea than anything that they would have used.
Mm.
Wow. Nostalgia. Mm. MSN days.
Yeah. It's because also the thing with XP is that it killed off, like it outlasted its successor, Vista, didn't it? And then there was like a big, this like when I first started in tech journalism, it was like, oh my god, we've got to get people off XP, please stop using XP, it's dangerous now. It's like, it's not being patched. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah, they stopped supporting it.
Yeah, so it entered, I can't remember exactly when, but it entered end of life, and there was like a lot of these kind of like, if you don't get off XP and you're an enterprise, your systems will be at risk of hackers, and it'll slow down, and like your competition, they'll be on like Windows 7, and it'll be a lot faster, and you're putting yourself at competitive disadvantage. But yeah, like,
so maybe Nina Cherry was hacked.
I was trying to think what else. So it got rid of Windows Vista. Windows 7 came along, and that kind of, you know, that seemed to disrupt things, and people started moving over to that. But yeah, that story itself, I did a little digging into it because I saw your downtime on it. And I was like, hey, we've covered it. And then I was like, oh, other people have covered it, but in like a serious news way. And there's a website called Beta News who just covered it. It's like, oh my god, like, as you said, you know, she was mid-set when, you know, her computer rebooted. And then I went into the comments, And there was some really intense kind of love for Windows XP going on. Like, people like, hey, this article, or like, people are insinuating that this computer rebooted mid-set because of XP. Well, let me tell you.
Let's clear it up.
Yeah, it's not just going to be XP. There's a lot of things that can go into a computer rebooting. Please don't blame the OS. And I was like, whoa, this guy loves XP.
I don't think anyone really was blaming the OS, but like, they just sound like they're in love with an operating system.
I know, well, then there was like a guy like, come on, look, it's the hottest day of the year. Who hasn't flakes out? Like, cut XP some slack. But I'd say it was a persistent operating system. Most popular, I don't really need to look at the stats, but I'm assuming probably the most popular operating system and persistent one that Microsoft have ever launched.
Yeah.
And yeah, its popularity has been massively overtaken now by Windows 10.
Really?
Yes. But over the past year, it's still maintained a market share of... It's gone from 2.97% market share to 1.7%, so it's lost about a percentage point of market share.
Mm.
But if you drill down into it, you can basically... How many computers does Naina Cherry own? And is she just the one person who's keeping the XP dream alive?
Also, for something to play visuals off, you'd think that would surely be like, they'd have like a MacBook or something.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It seems really odd.
Well, maybe that's like
to just see that in the background.
Maybe that's what hipster culture's gone to now. It's like, Macs are too mainstream, right? We're going back to XP.
Yeah. Like fashion, she's going to charity shops now to buy her laptops.
Could be that. Yes,
could be some kind of statement. I just don't know what it is yet.
Secondhand operating system.
Or maybe she's just like, you know what, it works, like, let's just stop the tech refreshes. Like, every time you buy a laptop, another one ends up in landfill, so let's just, you know, maybe it's a sustainability thing.
The part of it though is that there has been a case of don't fix it if it ain't broke. XP was brilliant.
Yeah.
I am one of those people in the comments like, whoa there, calm down.
Please don't be dissing on XP.
It's nothing to do with XP. As the operating systems have moved on though, there has been sort of stylization choices that I don't necessarily agree with. Just, it was so good.
Yeah, it's just simple. It's just, you know, it's very much, you could pick it up and just start using it without having
to,
like...
Intuitive.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to fix that, you know?
What changes do you hate the most?
That's something for another day.
I just think it's... I struggle to use any Windows. Cause being, like, if you're used to, like, using a Mac, it does... It just takes you back to being, like, at school or something, using Windows, if you're not used to using it.
Yeah. So anyway, so from Glastonbury to another summer tradition, which is everybody's favourite time of the year, Christmas in July.
Yeah, so part of the legacy of press is that when you had publications, and still there are publications out there that have to actually print stuff, you plan far, far, far in advance what you will be printing over Christmas, and therefore Christmas in July events are a very popular happening around this time of year, where they shove a load of journalists wearing shorts and sandals into a room and make them pretend that it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's usually the hottest day of the year, and you're piled into this event space where there'll be people walking around with like Christmas themed canapes, and then like some Burke dressed as Santa sort of bouncing up and down. You're like, what is going on? What's gone wrong with my life that we are doing this? And yeah, they're like designed for retailers and brands and stuff like that to kind of showcase the products that they think will be on people's Christmas lists later in the year. So yeah, like say for magazines, it's kind of like, oh yeah, could you feature these in your gift guide this year, and that kind of thing. And yeah, they're usually a bit of fun, very kind of surreal, and like it feels a bit like a, like you're wishing away 6 months of your life, like, don't you just wish it was Christmas? Like, no, not yet. Online retail giant Amazon usually stage huge Christmas in July events, and there used to be, I haven't been to one for a couple of years now, but there was always like a thing, do you think we'll get a Kindle? Do you think we'll get an Echo?
A present.
Yeah, and the gift bag, you kind of come away with that, like, okay, no Amazon, but we've done, you know, no Kindle or anything, but we've done all right. They seem to be intent on going a little bit bigger this year, and to the point that it seems like they're, or either they or like PR community, are trying to make Amazon Prime Day like a national holiday. So it's not just Christmas in July, it's like, hey, you know, Amazon Prime Day, like, what are you doing? We've had loads of PR pitches over the last couple of weeks from people asking if we're doing anything special for Amazon Prime Day.
And am I missing something here? Are they trying to be like ironic there?
I don't know. What
are they genuinely asking you? you do anything for Prime Day? Or they are just joking, surely.
I think some of it is asking if we're doing anything like coverage wise.
Yeah.
Like, are we planning anything special? But it's just the tone and like your.
It just seems like they're using special. It like Christmas.
Yeah. A bit like every year when we have all the Black Friday stuff. Yeah. And people are like, oh my God, are you doing anything special for Black Friday? Are you queuing up? Like, no.
But what could we write about Prime Day, about their offers? That would just seem like we're promoting Amazon.
I think
we've paid for it.
From a retail tech journalist perspective, I would probably compare it to Black Friday, and I don't know how are the other retailers coping with giants.
Are they just trying to take that on? Are they trying to make Black Friday obsolete with Amazon Prime Day?
I think so. They still take part in Black Friday.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's just maybe just like a way of kicking up some additional sales halfway through the year, so you're not so dependent on like the big sales spike for Black Friday and stuff like that. But in terms of what we would cover for it, like things like Black Friday, it usually has like a big retailer's website falling over under all the traffic.
Yeah, that always happens.
And particularly it's good if we've like done a case study on recently, we've been trumpeting like, oh my God, we've moved to the cloud and everything, we'll never go down again. You're like, woohoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in terms of Prime Day, it would be interesting to find out how partner organisations cope with that. So for example, next day deliveries, increased volume of products that are being ordered for a specific time in the week. Can they cope with it from sort of like a supply chain perspective? If you've got third parties that are selling goods through Amazon, what about the demand, the customer demand to have it the next day?
Which you're coming to expect now, aren't you, with Amazon?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying everything about Amazon is great necessarily, but you can't really argue with that kind of next day delivery. Sometimes just submitting to capitalism feels very tempting.
In amongst all the PR pictures we've had for it, there was the one that really jumped out to me was one from ancestry.co.uk.
Oh yes,
which is like the online equivalent of Who Do You Think You Are. You can go back through all your family tree and find out, oh my God, I used to be related to absolutely no one.
Woo! Yay.
Of note, and they've never done anything interesting, which is what my family tree threw up for when I did that a few years ago.
You actually did it?
Yeah, a little bit. I found out actually one of my relatives was done for like the equivalent of DUI. He was in charge of a horse under the influence, but while stationary. So that's what he got arrested for.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, wow. So he didn't even...
I thought you were just being modest when you said that your family history just had a bunch of nobodies. Yeah. That is, if that's the most notable one, that's tragic, really.
Yeah, so there we go. So
I feel a bit competitive now. I want to do one.
Well, they might have something for you in this then. So for the duration of the Amazon Prime... Amazon Prime Day is not just a day, it's 2 days.
It's 2 days, yes.
Yeah. So 15th and 16th of July. So for the entire event, ancestry.co.uk are cutting the price of their cutting-edge DNA kits. And their PR got in touch with us to let us know about this. And I was kind of curious as to why. Because I don't really, you know, DNA testing, what's that got to do with our technology audience? And, you know, the email sort of said, oh, you know, this DNA kit that we're cutting the price of for Amazon Prime Day is an ideal gift for tech-savvy gadget lovers.
Right.
Who want to explore their backstory and connect with relatives they never knew they had.
Interesting.
Which also suggests that those relatives, you know, implies, are they're waiting for us to get in touch with them. They might not, they might be fine. They might not need to know that they have other distant relatives anywhere. So
yeah, you don't want them to come out.
Yeah, that drunk horse man's not worried about you.
Yeah,
well, exactly.
He's having a great time.
Well, what if it's like one of his great grandsons or something gets in touch, or granddaughters? And you're like, no, he was in charge of a horse while drunk. I just can't associate with such people.
His horse was parked and he was drunk on it.
Yeah, that was the actual crime, was the fact that it was a crime because he wasn't moving. So it's like, what?
How close do you have to be near the horse drunk for it to be a crime?
No idea. I guess that's something to look up on ancestry.com, see if there's any clues in the police records. But yeah, anyway, by the by, they said that it's for tech-savvy people to do a DNA kit. And then I looked into it, I was like, well, what exactly is tech-savvy?
Yeah, where's the gadget?
Yeah, so I looked into it, and it's like, oh, okay, well, you fill in the paperwork. I was like, paperwork? Not tech-savvy.
With a pen?
Yeah, fill in your paperwork, get your kit, do your swab, whatever it is, post post the sample, and then you get an email link with your results. I was like, so is that it? Like, the email link is like the extent?
That's the digital bit.
Because I wanted to double check in case there was...
Email, that's the digital bit.
Well, I was kind of...
That's the gadget.
Yeah, that's it, you know, email. So I kind of looked at it as well. I was like, I just want to double check because, you know, is it tech savvy because they're hoping our readers might, you can go and crunch your own genomes and find out what your own DNA is.
Yeah, like digital like print your horse drunkard.
I was kind of like, so that just seems a bit of an odd thing to get in touch with us about. And then I was thinking, like, so the whole reason you know, some retailers might use Amazon Prime Day is possibly if they've got a surplus of stock that they need to get rid of. So I was wondering, like, who recently has stopped using DNA kits so widely? And the first person who came to mind was the Jeremy Kyle show.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have rightfully been taken off air.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to put through the DNA test at least once every few months or so.
Yeah, exactly.
So they've just got a stock room full of swabs.
Yeah.
And then clear.
Unused.
They're trying to swab us off.
Yeah. That's the other thing I looked up to see, is there any lie detectors in the Amazon Prime sales? Because you can get an advanced code to see what's going to go up, but there's absolutely none. So I was like,
how much they cost?
Why a lie detector?
Well,
a polygraph machine.
Yeah. So yeah, there's none on Amazon Prime. Going
no polygraph machines.
No.
Okay. I never understood whether they're meant to be like legitimate or not, because if they're using it as fact on something like Jeremy Kyle, obviously they can't use it in a courtroom or anything like that. So how accurate are they?
So it really depends on the person that you're using them on. So for example, when you're working out, if you want to bring your heart rate or blood pressure down, you can do controlled breathing and stuff like that. So I think that part of the polygraph measures your heart rate and whether or not you're getting nervous about something. So if you're lying, you're more likely to get an increased heart rate and you get a bit nervous, but it doesn't work on everyone.
Yeah.
So that's why they can't be used in a court of law as legitimate evidence, because you can cheat them.
And also the conditions surrounding them.
Yeah,
they can't.
You
can't
guarantee. Anyway.
Yeah, you can't guarantee that every person who sits down to do a lie detector, the conditions are exactly the same for each person. Like, you know, if you've say heart rate, if you've just like, hey, I've just rushed all the way here after being stuck in traffic and all this sort of stuff, and then you sit down to take it, your heart rate will probably be naturally elevated anyway. Whereas if you've just come through a nice relaxing walk, taking a scenic route through the park, just really relax, I'm gonna sit down and do my polygraph test. Yeah, the results could be completely different. So
it'd be easier to flog that than DNA test.
Yeah.
If it's the same company that deals with them, it probably isn't, but I can imagine they've got two separate rooms with all their old Jeremy Kyle dead stock. I would have gone for the lie detector, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're huge.
That actually is a gadget though, technically, isn't it? So at least that would have made more sense to advertise that to you.
That has actual journalistic use cases. Like, if you could plug one into the phone when you're interviewing someone, so has this project been a big success? Lies! So that's our take on Amazon Prime Day. But there has been other retail stuff going on that is not necessarily related to Christmas, but it's still happening in July.
So speaking of retail, speaking of July, and speaking of trending, I went to the launch of an AI-powered store called The Trending Store.
Oh, wow.
It was in Westfield, London, so all the way over in Shepherd's Bush. And basically, they said that the store would be using AI to scan social media, find out products that were trending, and then sell them exclusively in this store, and the proceeds would go to Save the Children. But I sort of envisaged that as a little robot turning up each day with a little pack like, here's all of your trending stuff.
Mm.
What actually happens is that they run around Westfield in the morning and pick up all of the stuff, as far as I could tell.
I feel like I'm living in the Stone Age, though. Ancestry thing, and now this. Like, where are the actual gadgets?
I might be wrong about that, but that was what I heard when I got there. But I went thinking that it would be this massive event where they would talk about what they were doing and someone would stand up and there would be keynotes, but like, actually it was just a launch. So it was basically just drinks and canapes and, have a look around the shop, but you can't buy anything. But basically, they've been looking at different kinds of data, and then they split all of the data down into sort of like different subcategories, and then in the subcategories they've got products. Yeah, it was cool. Everything in there looked a little bit Forever 21-ish, you know, like the I wouldn't actually either fit in or pull off anything in the shop.
So when
what shop was this, sorry?
It's called The Trending Store.
Oh, okay.
That's literally what it's called.
By Westfield?
It was in Westfield, and it was a partnership between Westfield London and Next Atlas, who did all of the data type stuff, and then partnering again with Save the Children for charity purposes, but then also for data stuff, and then also because it's fun.
Yeah. But could, because it is trending, obviously it depends on the sample size. I might have completely misunderstood. Basically, what's trending is, it depends on that sample. So it could be, if they're just looking up what's trending, that would depend on like what people are talking about online. So would you find, maybe without sounding really age discriminatory, that a lot of younger people would be like, oh my God, I love this product, da, 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 da. So you end up being skewed, but it is lots of stuff that young people talk about, because maybe older people don't talk on social media so much about what they're buying.
Well, they would if it went down with
time.
If you could share pictures.
Yeah.
So it tracks around 400,000 people across 150 countries and 1,000 cities globally.
Yeah.
With the sort of label of early adopters and innovators, whatever.
Okay.
But basically, yeah, it's like real-time social media analytics to judge in the morning what's trending, and then they get in like clothes and accessories, and then it'll be like, here's everything that everyone on social media is talking about, and so yeah, I think that they're monitoring about 3 billion data points across the internet, just to find what's going on. But yeah, I'll cover it in more depth and with words on computerweekly.com, because this is literally just something that happened to me earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I've not had time to write it up yet, because I've been dealing with our top 50 list of the UK women in tech.
Mm-hmm.
The nominations have closed, the judges will convene for their first session, and then we will have the voting opening very soon before the end of July.
Is it, who's the Tech UK boss? Jacqueline de Rojas, I think.
Oh, Jacqueline.
Is that her name?
Yes.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
Jacqueline, I listened to her Desert Island Discs.
Oh, she's awesome, yeah. What was she saying?
It was really good Desert Island Discs. Yeah. Some of them so boring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, I've taken to just having baths now. I'm getting quite old. And sticking on Desert Island Discs. And hers was really good. It was a really good story. So check that out, guys, to celebrate women in tech.
She's on our Hall of Fame as well, because I think she's amazing.
Have you met her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she sounds great.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's so authentic and just, like, really fun as well.
Mm.
Good taste in music as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we're all part of... we're all fans of baths and listening to Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're the bath crew.
Yeah. We were saying this the other week about when we go on press trips. Yeah. Like, you get kind of, hi guys, we can have a dinner tonight or something. You're like, I don't have a bath at home. So if I'm at a hotel room, there's a huge bath. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it, because I've got a lot of work to catch up with. But it's literally, I'm having a bath because there's a bath here.
Same. I don't have a bath in my house. But yeah, every time I go to a hotel, it's like, oh, bath.
So there you go, guys. Check out baths.
There might be some sweet deals on Amazon Prime for them.
Sweet, like a bathroom suite.
Oh, God, we are wasted here.
Even I wouldn't have said that.
But on that note, I think that's probably all we've got time for sensibly today. Left me to thank Claire.
Thanks.
And Ryan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you,
Caroline.
For what is probably the most chaotic podcast we've ever done. So, but thank you anyway. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.